du bist für uns der Weg, diesen Dienst auszuführen.
Lord, thank you. You are the way for us to carry out these priestly services. Lord, yeah, help us to really experience this every day, to carry out these services before you in your presence, in your light, and in your life, that we would be one with you. Thank the Lord. This is a very special area here to serve in the holy place. And we also see in Revelation 11, this is the area which the Lord really cares about in this time in which we are living. And in verse 1 of chapter 11 of Revelation, it says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. And leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And at the end, the only thing he measures is the service in the holy place. This is what is measured by God in Revelation 11. And the things that were done in the outside the temple, he said, don't measure it. Don't measure the court which is outside the temple. How often are we really in the sanctuary? Are we before the Lord and serve him at the showbread table, at the golden lampstand, at the golden incense altar? This service in the sanctuary is not something for just once a year, and then the rest of the year no one is there. In Exodus 30, we already read how often the services had to be carried out in verse 7. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. Amen. Every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. The service at the incense altar is not just on Tuesday evening, but it's every day. God wants us to burn incense on the altar every day and also tend the lamps. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Do you know these lamps on the lampstand? They're not that big. It's just a small vessel. It burns throughout the night, but in the morning you have to tend the lamp again. And in the morning you have to fill it again, and then it burns until evening. But then in the evening, then the priest has to come and trim the wick and pour more oil in. It's constantly necessary to constantly fill the lampstands with oil. How can the church be burning and to shine this and in this world? This doesn't happen just with one meeting or two, three meetings, but it happens every morning. All of us can work together with him for the lampstand to burn and to shine. How brightly is the lampstand shining? It shines as brightly as the sum of all of our lights or lamps. We're maybe 60 saints now. So when all 60 or 70 of us really shine brightly, then there will be a great light or a good light. But if only half of the lamps are light or lit, and if we, there's only one switch here for all lights here. If we turn this switch off, then there's no more light. So how brightly the church shines depends on each and every single one of us. There's not a lampstand isn't made of one vessel, one lamp with 10 liters of oil. It's not like one pastor who shines and all other people can just sit back and relax. The Lord didn't let the lampstand be built in such a way. He made them with seven little lamps. Do you know that you're a lamp? So the question is your lamp filled with oil today? Have we collected fresh oil from the Lord this morning? Have we said to the Lord, fill me with fresh oil? Oil can get rancid. You can't let oil stand there for 3 weeks. You can't do much with it after that. You need to also use it every day. If the lampstand is not burning, then the oil is just sitting there and you can't even refill it. If you keep filling it with oil, but you don't let it shine, then the oil won't be used up. For the Lord to be able to fill us again and again requires us to also use this oil, to use the Holy Spirit within us to serve Him. We should all have this consciousness. We are such a lamp on the lampstand. And so let us all be filled. Let us all be ignited and to use the oil that we have. That we wouldn't just live our day, but that we would shine. For example, Philippians 2 says in verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Is this easy? It doesn't say do your sports without complaining and disputing. But it says do all things without complaining and disputing. Every service on the service list or plan. Do all things without complaining and disputing. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So how can we use up this oil or use it for the Lord? We should say, Lord, when I serve you in this practical thing, fill me that I can do it with joy. Then we can really shine as lights in this world. There's so many opportunities for us to shine. At work, for example. Not just to do work, but to live through the Lord at our workplace. And to pray for God's purpose. This oil really has to be used. If we serve the Lord at the incense altar, it's then we need light and we need life. We need food from the Lord. We come together for prayer every week. But it's not about just our praying together, but it's about our prayer rising up to God. And if it ascends to the throne of God, then there's also a reaction. You cannot pray and it's full of incense and nothing will happen. That can't be. We read Revelation 8. I really treasure this verse. Revelation 8, verse 5, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. It's so important, not just for us to pray, but to say to the Lord, Lord, does our prayer rise up to you? Does it reach you? Does it ascend before God? Does it have an effect on your plan? The Lord says, watch and pray. It's not good to pray and to not watch and consider if the Lord really hears it. Because if the Lord doesn't hear it, then maybe it's not incense. You can pray for many things. But the Lord doesn't want us as priests just to pray for many things. Sometimes when we're in the prayer meeting and we gather prayer burdens, it's not about praying for many things, but praying for the things that concern God. And Daniel is a wonderful priest. Daniel 6, verse 11, as he was living in Babylon, he never forgot God's plan. It's very impressive. He was always focused on God's plan. And it says, 6:11, Daniel 6:11, then verse 10, amen. He prayed and made supplication before his God, verse 10 and 11. He didn't, in his home, he didn't look where he can hang things up, but he looked for the windows that were facing Jerusalem. In his heart was the city of God. Yeah, he went home and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day. Do you think he did it out of a religious law? No, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day because it was in his heart. He was always thinking, what happened to Jerusalem? He was considering Jerusalem. It was destroyed at this time, and it didn't leave him. He had didn't give the Lord any rest. He prayed and gave thanks before his God. How often do we pray for his church? How often do we kneel down and pray for his church and ask him, what is with your plan? Where is the glory in your church? It's so good to do this regularly, not because someone gives us a law, but because something within us urges us to do it, that we want his plan to go on. Lord, we want to see that your plan would go on with us. What do you think would happen if we went on our knees 3 times a day with such a burden and say, Lord, your church, Lord, go on with the whole priesthood? Do you think the Lord would not do anything? The Lord would do much. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And then it says in verse 12, and they went before the king. And they found him praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 11. Daniel didn't say, oh, Jerusalem is in ruins, doesn't look good, let's do something else. But no, he was not satisfied with the condition. And he didn't give up on the plan because he knew God didn't give up on his plan. If God hasn't given up on his plan, then we should all intercede for his plan. If the Lord wants this priesthood, then we should tell him, Lord, amen, erect this priesthood now. Maybe we can't really imagine it. And we think, it doesn't really look so good here and there. But Daniel knelt down as nothing was to be seen. There was nothing to see. And we don't pray because we have an idea. But the prayer at the incense altar is a prayer that comes from our having seen what he wants. And he wants a kingdom of priests. I think we've all been convinced. And we're all convinced. And it's not good enough to just be convinced, but to also go down upon our knees and to pray and make supplication before our God. This is a prayer God will surely hear. Praise the Lord. This is a service at the golden incense altar. This is what he really appreciates and treasures. He really seeks those who really demand of him that he would fulfill his plan. Sometimes we don't see so much, but let us pray according to what he has shown us. This is what is valid. This is what matters. It's about what God wants to have. And if we have this type of prayer, then God will do it. And this is the confidence that we can all have and the assurance that we can all have. If we all make supplication before the Lord that his kingdom of priests would be established, then he will also do it. Of this we can be assured. Ephesians 3, verse 20. God has shown us such a wonderful plan. And then it says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Is that all? God can do so much. Do we say, hallelujah, God can do so much? That's not what it's only what it says here. It says it does above all that we ask or think or what we ask for. Yeah, he really will do. He says, ask and you will receive. So it depends upon how much we ask of him. If we don't ask him for establishing the kingdom of priests, then it won't happen with us, then it'll happen with others. But if we ask him for this, then he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we're not praying to a small God. We're not praying to man. We're praying to the one who is able, amen, to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. We see no way, but there's always a way with him. Amen. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How will the Lord gain his glory in the church? If we just do everything to according to what we think, and we say, oh, this seems plausible, okay. No, he gains his glory when things happen that are beyond our expectation. Mm-hmm. If we have not really experienced that he has done exceedingly above all that we ask or think, then we have to ask ourselves how much we've asked for it. If we don't pray, things won't happen. But here it says, above all that we ask or think. If we really make ourselves one with the will of God by faith, then we can experience things that we can't even imagine. And then praise the Lord, then to him be glory in the church. Then someone will ask you, what has the Lord done? And then you'll say, ooh, do you have time? Let me tell you, here was something that the Lord did. No one could help, and we talked, and nothing happened. But then we came to him, and then we asked him, and then humbled ourselves before him, and we brought him incense and told him, Lord, you are able. And then praise the Lord, he did it. He does it. The prayer is cooperation between heaven and earth. Prayer is not that God just does something or we do something, but it is God with us. It is so good. How much can we do? I tell you, we can't do anything, actually. Can you help anybody in the church? Let's say someone is very discouraged and sees no way to go on and it doesn't look good. How often do we just talk with one another? And then we say, oh, okay, the situation is like this. And then it's still like that. And after the third conversation, it's gotten even worse. The Lord doesn't want us to work together with him in such a way. He wants us to serve and work together with him on the golden incense altar. He wants a church that prays. That's what the Lord wants. Matthew 16, when he first mentions the church, the Lord says in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and there will be no problems. Is that what it says? That's not our experience. Everyone who's been here for even just a bit, even a week is enough, then you know it won't be an easy way. One brother got baptized recently, and at the moment where he wanted to get baptized, then the problem started already. Because there are the gates of Hades, and they're fighting, and the Lord also lets them fight. But the church that the Lord builds will not be, the gates of Hades cannot prevail against this church that he builds. And verse 19 says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The Lord has given us authority, but it's not authority for the flesh. We cannot just ask God for anything that just pleases us. I read Mark with my boys recently. And then it says, ask what you, anything in faith and you will receive it. And then my son was so excited. And then he said, table, you get up and rise up from here. And then I told him, that's not how it works. He's a child. But we have to learn that our prayer should be in oneness with His will. Sometimes things happen and we think, oh, now we have to pray for this. Sometimes people get sick and then we think, oh, we have to immediately pray in one direction. But we have to first listen to the Lord and ask Him what we should pray. And the special thing about the incense altar is that it's in the most holy place. It's not a one-way street. God wants to show us what we should pray for. It shouldn't occur according to our concept. But here it says, whatever you bind on earth should be what is already bound in heaven. The heaven has to show us what we should pray for. This is incense when we are in oneness with God's will in our prayer. And this has to be something that occurs every day. And if this, then He will do wonderful things. Then nothing will be impossible for us. Do you believe this? Do you not have the desire to experience this priestly service? This service in the sanctuary is a very precious service. It's in oneness with the Lord. And it says, and whatever you loose or want to loose on earth should be what has already been loosed in heaven. And then it's not so strenuous because it's the Lord who does it. We're priests, but we follow the one and follow Him and follow what He wants to do, and we remind Him of what He wants to do. And if we pray in such a way, then He will build up His kingdom with us today. And as George said, and all the services are connected to one another. Romans 8, 26 and 27, the Lord really gives us His support for such a service, because sometimes we don't know how we should pray. But we have a wonderful Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. The Lord intercedes for us, and He intercedes for the saints. It's so good. We should enter into this practice to experience the Lord daily in this service. Then that's how we use up the oil. If we go on our knees before the Lord every day and pray for His will, pray for the kingdom of priests, then the Spirit will really work within us and will help us to intercede for the saints, amen, according to the will of God, with incense, with faith, with the victory of the Lord. Not with just a small view, but to say, Lord, conquer the whole earth. We don't want to just ask the Lord to do a little bit, but we want Him to gain His kingdom of priests. Yeah, amen. There's a lot of strength that comes from this golden incense altar. It has four horns. And the Lord wants us, through the strength and the supply of the Spirit, that we would enter into this service. And the enemy will fight against this, but he will lose, just like at Daniel's time. And that's how the Lord will really gain much glory in the church. Let's please not just do this on Tuesdays. That won't work. You can't richly carry out this service if you do it only once a week. If you only do something once a week, that's not as effective. Or for someone who's very practiced in something or practices every day, you can do something with your eyes closed. But of course, we shouldn't do our priestly service with the eyes closed. But it requires practice. We shouldn't think, oh, it's not so easy. In Romans 8, it says He helps us in our weaknesses. It must be a prayer that comes from our heart. Daniel, he really made supplication before his God. You can't make supplication before God for something that doesn't move you within. It's not like praying the Lord's Prayer like they do in religion. It's without power. And this is not something that will move God. We need to pray with supplication for His purpose. How can we do this if we don't exercise and practice this? I realized without this service, our fire will go out. Why should you eat so much or if you're just going to go sleep afterwards? But for prayer, we need strength. Mm-hmm. A prayer in spirit needs strength. Ephesians 6 talks about the fight in prayer of the church. And each one of us should be in the sanctuary every day. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be just so busy that we have no more time to pray. You know, many things are not important, but the prayer for God's purpose, if we let this go, then soon things will no longer happen. And I write things down that I pray for. And if nothing has happened after 2 or 3 days, then most of the time it depends on the fact that I haven't been very diligent to pray for it every day. Sometimes we eat the word and then we go our way. But you know, the lampstand and the showbread table have a goal. The goal is that we would serve at the incense altar. So it's really important to take the strengthening of the Lord to daily exercise and carry out this service at the incense altar. And it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer, amen, and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to persevere. so the Lord can break through. So praise the Lord. We have oil for the lampstand. We have light in the Spirit. We have the life of the Lord to be strengthened, to pray before the Lord and make supplication before the Lord and carry out our priestly service. So be encouraged to go anew to this incense altar every day, and then the Lord will do wonderful things above all that we can ask or think. And this is how God will gain his kingdom of priests.